Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Good morning, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN. She's climbing a mountain. In fact, they are both climbing a mountain to help older dogs. Our own Dr. Natalie Marks and Dr. Mary Gardner will be here to discuss why they're doing this. I've talked so often on this radio show about the Ron and Vicky Santo Diabetic Alert Dog Foundation for the amazing work that they support. Vicky Santo has taken over. It was Ron's dream to help kids, specifically kids, with diabetes. And Vicky Santo's been doing just that. And so has the foundation. And one of the recipients of one of those amazing dogs is Scott Parker, who manages a real estate company in Naperville. Hi, Scott.
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for joining me. I want to hear your story. So you have a daughter who has diabetes.
Correct.
And you thought, well, maybe, or maybe it was your daughter that came to you, I don't know, and said, can I have one of those dogs? Tell me the story.
Yeah, she was diagnosed about 3 years ago, and I would say within the first year or so of her diagnosis, she kind of came across something, maybe it was a YouTube clip or something, and she said, Mommy, Daddy, there's these diabetic alert dogs, and, you know, can we have one of these for our next family pet? And our current dog's getting up there in age. And so we were like, that's kind of a cool idea. We should look into that. And so my wife did some research, found a well-reviewed breeder / trainer in the Midwest. And we called and we had a great conversation. And at the end, of course, we asked the question, what's this cost? And the answer was $15,000 to $20,000, depending on the breed. And so we had to go back to my daughter and say, we love the idea and it's really cool, but Mommy and Daddy don't have that kind of money for a dog, for a family pet, even if it has superpowers. So, so fast forward about a year, about 2 years ago now, actually, my wife is volunteering at our daughter's school, and one of the assistants or aides at the school has a daughter who's several years older, and she's like, we're getting a diabetic assistance dog. And a diabetic alert dog. And my wife says to her, she's like, oh my gosh, we looked into that, but the cost. And she said, well, yeah, we actually, we're a recipient, from a foundation. It's the Ron and Vicky Santo Foundation. You should apply. And, so she came home and we talked about it and I said, well, let's put in our application. The very next day we're on the phone with Vicky Santo. They had a dog that was a perfect match that they had purchased from a breeder and they were putting into service. And I think a family had backed out and it was kind of a godsend on both ends. And, you know, the rest is history. His name is Mickey and he joined our family 6 months ago. And we're just so grateful for the Ron and Vicky Santo Foundation. It's just been an absolute blessing for our family.
How much did Mickey cost you?
The cost of these dogs, like I said, $15,000 to $20,000. Vicky asks all of her recipients to have a little skin in the game. So we have a couple thousand dollars into the dog. But you know that, as you know, Steve, that's, you go and find a great breeder and with papers, and you know, depending on the breed, that's about what you're paying. So for us, it was the deal of the century, of course, and only possible, and only have him because of this foundation.
And this dog, of course, comes to you well socialized, because otherwise it cannot be a service dog. So these, of course, are service dogs, but also trained to do a very, very special job. Has the dog done its job?
Absolutely. And the great story is we flew out to Arizona and we picked Mickey up in December of 2023. And we met with Gracie from Bark to Basics, who's Vicky's go-to partner and trainer for diabetic alert dogs. And just to spend a couple of days and kind of get acclimated to Mickey and learn all the inside tips and tricks of having a diabetic alert dog. And my daughter, I think, was very excited, and sometimes adrenaline can do funny things to a diabetic's blood sugar levels, and she was actually crashing. And within a minute of them meeting, Mickey gave us a full-on alert.
Wow.
And there was tears, there was joy, and it was like, holy cow. It was just kind of just this moment of just pure gratitude for what we were getting ourselves into. So it is daily, though, Steve. He will, you know, there 2, 3, 4 alerts a day is wow. not uncommon. And what? It is, it's so fantastic. It's like having the dog has a superpower, but for us as parents and anybody with type 1 diabetes or a child with type 1 diabetes can relate to this. There's, you know, you're constantly looking at your phone to check, you know, the glucose monitor, and it's, you're always kind of wondering, and it's just to have a dog that has the ability to kind of give you some reassurance and say, like, I got you. Where I'm another level of support here. It's an amazing thing.
Have some of these alerts come in the middle of the night?
Yes, we've gotten some. I will say, you know, he is a dog, so he's not perfect, and you know, he misses some, and he likes to sleep, and so there's definitely some ongoing training that's going on with the sleep alerts. Uh-huh. It's not his best trick in his tool bag today, but you know, but any good trainer will tell you, and Gracie was very upfront with us that, like, this is an ongoing process. The training doesn't stop when I hand the dog over, and that's been the case. And so we keep working with him, and we put him in situations where he can thrive. If we do catch a night alert that he doesn't, we wake him up and kind of let him do his thing and try to reinforce it. So yeah, he's absolutely capable of it, but he's still a young dog. Still kind of a puppy, so a work in progress. So definitely not perfect, but incredible, especially when the funnest thing is when friends and family are over and they get to witness it firsthand from the outside, you know, because I think everybody's a little skeptical of any type of service-related dog and what they're capable of. But when you see it in action, there's absolutely no disputing it. And the great thing is, Steve, she's got a glucose monitor that gives us a reading every 5 minutes, and it's not perfect. And they let you know that these glucose monitors aren't exactly accurate, but they're fantastic. But a lot of times Mickey will be our daughter will be upstairs and he'll come running downstairs and he'll start alerting us. And we're like, hey, bud, we're not the diabetic here. And there's been times where 15 to 20 minutes before the glucose monitor will catch it, we'll look at the glucose monitor and we'll see that she's at a pretty steady number. And we're like, I don't think so. And sure enough, 5-10 minutes later, she'll be crashing or she'll be going sky high. And that's how good he is at recognizing way before an amazing technology of a glucose monitor even can. So that's been pretty cool to see.
If you had the choice between the glucose monitor or the dog, and of course you will always have both, but yep. if you only had the choice of choosing one, which would you choose?
Dog, hands down.
Interesting. More conversation about the Ron and Vicky Santo amazing Diabetic Alert Dog Foundation and a very special event coming up that Scott Parker here will talk to us about when we come back on WGN. You know, I love this conversation. I've been talking about the Ron and Vicky Santo Diabetic Alert Dog Foundation for years now. I've had Vicky on the radio talking about it. And I must tell you, I have heard so many stories, Scott, just like yours, just like the one you are saying, which essentially is, and tell me if I'm putting incorrect words in your mouth, that this has really changed not only the life for your daughter, but the entire family.
Absolutely. I mean, he's an amazing family dog. We have two other daughters as well, and they love him just as much as our daughter who's a diabetic loves him, and we do too. And he came to us so well trained. It's like, you know, this is kind of this amazing family dog with this extra superpower, and we all just love him and appreciate him for that. But it's not just a service dog. It is really, truly a family dog that just happens to have this amazing gift that helped our family out.
Well, what's more, I would guess, based on what you said earlier, this is a lot less pressure on you and your wife to pay attention every second to those glucose monitors, maybe even getting a better night's sleep every single night, even though 4 in the morning is not Mickey, your dog's best time, but still less pressure on you.
100%. And I think that's the, there's no doubt. And I think as a parent, we worry about our kids, no matter what it is. And if you have a type 1 diabetic at home and their child, it never turns off. But I will tell you, it's almost like a level of volume, and it just kind of turns it down a little bit so you can focus and relax a little bit more knowing that he's there. And it is a real honor and privilege to have it. You know, we know there's so many people affected by diabetes, not just type 1, but obviously type 2 is very prevalent as well. So to know that we're one of those lucky ones that has that extra support for this is, it's just incredible.
Were you a baseball fan? Did you know of Ron Santo?
Are you kidding me? I will admit I did not watch Ron Santo play. I'm a little young for that. But I am old enough to remember a time where most of us listened to more Chicago Cubs baseball than watched. It's called the radio for all those digital kids out there. And Ron Santo, I was just telling somebody this the other day, one of some of my fondest memories, 2003, and we all know how that ended, unfortunately. But I was a senior in college, and we were fixing up our fraternity house, and we were living there and doing the college thing all summer. And we didn't have cable, so we had WGN radio on, and Ron and Pat were the voice of my youth. So huge Cubs fan, and so just that it's Ron and that it's the Santo name, it's an extra level of awesomeness for me. Now my wife and her family Sox fans, so we'll forgive them for that. But they love it and appreciate it as well.
Well, he did play 1 year, I believe, with the Chicago White Sox. But
he did. I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So okay. here's up my question. You alluded to this earlier. There are so many kids, unfortunately, but it's a reality. Young kids that have diabetes today. There aren't enough dogs to go around. So You've stepped up and you said, I want to do something about this, because when it comes down, I mean, really, the Ron and Vicky Santo Diabetic Alert Dog Foundation has not only changed lives of so many kids, but saved a couple of lives, several lives. Literally, those dogs have saved lives along the way, but not enough dogs, because you mentioned $15,000 to $20,000 plus for each dog. So that money's got to come from somewhere. And you said, well, I'm going to help.
Well, yeah. So we had lunch with Vicky. We were fortunate enough to, when we were out there in Arizona to have lunch with Vicky. And, you know, I had just kind of, out of curiosity, was asking the questions, how many of these dogs can you hand over every year? How many applications that do you get, and where does the money come from? I was just being, you know, just genuinely curious, and Vicky was really transparent, and it was a great conversation. But I left that conversation feeling like, you know, we're so fortunate. We have to pay this forward in some way. And I told Vicky, obviously we're a recipient, and you know, there's very few people in the world that can afford a dog at that price. What can we do to help? And she said, you know, any type of fundraising, especially in the Chicagoland area, because of Ron's connection and with the Cubs,
sure.
There's a lot of recipients here in our market. And if there's any type of fundraising or get togethers we can do, she's like, I'd love your help in collaborating. And, you know, sometimes when you hear that, it's like, you know, you try to see, as you get older, Steve, you try to say no to a lot of things because you realize that you can't be all things to all things and people. But this was a heck yes for our family. So we started to go through all of the ideas, and of course, golf outing popped up, and I'm a golfer and I love to golf, but golf outings are a little tricky, but we're trying to figure out how to have the best impact. And so short story long, the company I work for is John Green Realtor. We're a real estate company based out of Naperville, and the owners of our company, they own a Polo Farm. It's R and More Polo Farm. It's out in Oswego. It's a beautiful piece of property, and John Green's daughter Shannon runs R and More Arts, and so she does concerts and polo matches and all kinds of really cool kind of arts and entertainment out at the farm. And she has this concert series that she does every year. It's called Cab Cab. Think Ravinia. It's kind of a BYOP, bring your own party type of event. You can bring your own food and drink, and people bring tables and chairs, and, you know, you set up a picnic. And she's always got great artists that come out for this, and it has a following. So I called her up and I said, Shannon, I've got this crazy idea. What do you think? And I said, how about Cab Cab for a Cause? And we take one of the Cab Cabs this summer and we give it a kind of a charity angle. And she's like, yeah, who are you thinking? And I told her our story. She knew about it. And she's like, I love it. You know, let's do it.
So what will be happening?
Yeah. So we're going to have a Cab Cab for a Cause, which is an outdoor concert at the Arnmore Polo Farm in Oswego on August 10th. Gates open at 5 p.m. We have an amazing band playing. It's Trace Mustache. They have a large following out in the suburbs. And that when they heard what we were doing, they were like, absolutely, we're in. So we've got an amazing band. We've got a great night of fun. We have free wine tastings. Frank Ooh. Family Vineyards is they're big into supporting dog charities. So it was right up their alley. So they're sponsoring, and they're going to have a bunch of really high end wine, free wine tastings, and have an amazing concert. And we're going to try to raise as much money as we can for the Ron and Vicky Santo Foundation, so we can get more of these dogs into the hands of families, so they can experience what we've experienced ourselves.
Well, thank you for doing this, but we need people to come out there, right? Because the proceeds will benefit the Ron and Vicky Santo Diabetic Alert Dog Foundation. What is the website so people can learn more to come to this concert / wine tasting / everything else on what date is this again?
This is August 10th.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And so the website?
And the website is, I'll spell it out too. It's Arnmore Farm and Polo Club.com. So ARRANMORE Farm and Polo Club.com. And you can navigate to Cab Cab, or you can just go / Cab Cab -4-A-Cause. So Arnmore Farm and Polo Club.com / Cab Cab -4-A-Cause.
Good grief. All right. So what we'll do when we podcast all this, we will spell it all out at WGNradio.com. Just look under our pet show, Steve Dale's Pet World, and you'll find it. And we will find you out there. Scott, a pleasure to talk to you. Congratulations on doing this. A great thing for the Ron and Vicky Santo Diabetic Alert Dog Foundation. Thank you.
Thank you for having me, Steve.
How many of you run with your dog? You know, for dogs, it has the same benefits as it does for people. Not only is it great cardiovascular exercise, but that endorphin high that runners say they get. And if you're not a runner, you say, what the heck is that? They're running all over the place and they feel better? How can you feel better? Well, dogs do too. However, there are some things you shouldn't do. First of all, if it's very hot outside, you shouldn't be running with your dog. If you're hot, I can assure you, your dog is hotter. If you must, run early in the morning. Also, if you're going a long distance and if you have a young dog still growing, don't. Period. End of story. We now know that that is harmful to very young dogs. The best dogs at running long distances, by the way, were bred to do this for centuries. I'm talking about Weimaraners and also Dalmatians. And remember, brachiocephalic breeds with those pushed-in noses can never run very far. Ain't no mountain high enough, not for Dr. Mary Gardner. It's Never Long Enough is the name of one of her many books. That ties in to what we're about to talk about, because Dr. Gardner and our own, meaning Chicago's own, Dr. Natalie Marks, are going to climb Mount Kilimanjaro to support an organization, a nonprofit called the Gray Muzzle Organization. Dr. Gardner, why are you guys climbing a mountain?
It's crazy, right? Well, our slogan is that two vets go over a hill for pets that are over the hill.
I like that.
You like that?
Yeah.
I know. Well, we are attempting, and we will finish, climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, and we want to raise money for senior pets that need assistance all around the country. And the best organization to help facilitate that is the Gray Muzzle Organization. So we're hoping to raise $10,000. We're at about $3,000 right now, because $10,000 can help so many older pets that are in need of care and also in need of finding a forever home.
Indeed. All right. So tell me about I want to ask you about Mount Kilimanjaro in a moment, how you're training and all that. But tell me about Gray Muzzle Organization. And before you do, I want this as a backdrop so people know that over half of all dogs, this organization's about dogs, but the same is true for cats, but even more so for dogs, well over half of those in shelters or rescue are, quote, seniors. So why do you suspect that is so? And what is the Gray Muzzle doing to help those animals?
It's so sad that that's the number. And I think for whatever reason, when they get surrendered, I think a lot of people, struggle with the idea of adopting a pet that's older, because that means they're not going to have as much time with them. And I totally get it. I understand that if you're going to go create a new family member, you'd want one that's maybe a young one. But so I think that they're last on the list. I also think there's probably a bit of worry that why is this older dog or cat, surrendered? There must be something wrong with them if they didn't want them. And so I think it comes with a little bit of nerves. I have adopted two older dogs in my life. They're both seven, and they were amazing. Every day I'd be like, I don't understand why you're, relieved or given up. So I just think that I was the lucky one. So I think there's probably a bit of that. And also, typically around seven, that is when a dog is going to be considered senior, unless it's a giant breed, and it might be even a little bit younger than that, right,
sure,
Steve? But that's senior. And it comes with some problems. This is when things start to happen. It's like your car at 100,000 miles, right? Like, stuff starts to break down. And so people are concerned because it's going to be a cost, possibly. It's a time investment and physicality, that they may have to invest in this. So I think, just starting off with that may be a hindrance for their adoption. But that's where the Gray Muzzle Organization tries to come in and help the shelters and rescues out there. A shelter, let's say, that has a program for senior pets can actually submit for a grant every year, and they could say, hey, I need $5,000 because we have 20 senior dogs in our care that they all need dental cleanings and some tooth extractions. And they could submit that grant, and the Gray Muzzle Organization goes through all of these grants, and I'm a part of the grant reviewing process, which I love and also hate because I'm so sad hearing about all the need out there.
Yeah.
And so they will rank them of need and give those shelters and rescues those grants. And the Gray Muzzle Organization just donated over $1 million in 2024 for those rescues. And that's going to go help thousands of older pets get the care they need, which will then hopefully increase their chances of getting adopted.
And statistically, anyway, most dogs that are relinquished, older dogs that are given up to shelters, which are most dogs given to shelters, have at least one medical issue. And the most common actually turns out to be dental. But there are others as well. They may be given up because veterinary care wasn't affordable or deemed affordable by the people who had. But in some cases, people don't even know those pets had that issue. So it is getting these animals into shape so they can be adopted. So Gray Muzzle, in my view, is responsible for not only benefiting the welfare of these dogs, but actually saving lives.
So it's so true. And there's, for instance, incontinence. A dog may be incontinent because they have diabetes or they have a disease called Cushing's. And those are treatable diseases. They are lifelong treatable things, right? But they're treatable. And maybe the person couldn't afford to get them diagnosed or afford to do that treatment, which could be $50 to $100, let's say, a month. And so that pet is then relinquished. And, you know, maybe they just thought, oh, he's being a bad dog peeing in the house. But no, he's got a problem and we could easily manage it. And then there's people like me, and I have had dogs and cats with diabetes, and I've had dogs with Cushing's, and I know how to manage them. I'm comfortable with giving insulin injections. I'm comfortable with giving a pill once a day. And I would easily take on a pet with those conditions. And, but like you said, I think the Gray Muzzle organization helps these shelters get the pets in shape, if you will, for adoption. And then also, I think it helps people know what they are getting involved with. You know, they're okay, this dog, you know, has dental disease. We're going to give them a nice cleaning. They've lost half their teeth, so no problem. And off they go to a new home.
Do you think, and we'll answer this when we come back from the break, this is one of those $54 million questions. Not that I have that much to give you, but I'll give you $4. But here's the question. Do you think that it's true, or are we anthropomorphizing, that these dogs actually appreciate, these senior dogs in particular, appreciate being adopted? They know their life is being saved. I want to ask you about that. We've heard that. I want to ask you about that, and also about the mountain climb. This is not just a hill around the corner of your house. You know, you could have said, Dr. Gardner, I'm going to walk around the block. You could have said, I'm going to do a 5K. But no, you and Dr. Mark said, we're going to go to Africa and we're going to climb a mountain. And neither one of you have any history or experience in doing this. I will say it was nice to know you, but we'll talk more when we come back with Dr. Mary Gardner on WGN. If there's a veterinary conference in America, it seems Dr. Mary Gardner is there. And she hardly ever talks about puppies or kittens. She doesn't talk about heart disease in dogs necessarily. Or she doesn't talk about diabetes in cats unless those things are related to older pets, and they may be, then she's happy to talk about that because there's a track that is kind of could be named for you, really. And the focus now at veterinary meetings, which means veterinarians are better focusing on this themselves, and please pat yourself on the back, is saying, you know what? We need to pay even more attention than we have. And always there's been attention paid, but even more attention to geriatric dogs and cats. It's greatly because of you. But now you're even going further. You're climbing a mountain for these dogs. Why are you climbing a mountain? Why couldn't you have done a 5K?
That is a good question. And sometimes I'm questioning myself. But it's actually, so Natalie and I are definitely, you know, going to make this mountain. And we are doing it to raise money for the Gray Muzzle Organization. But we're with a group of about 20 other climbers, and half are veterinarians. And I have to lecture every day after we climb, and my lecture to them, and so that way they can get their required continuing education credit that they need to stay active as veterinarians. And I am lecturing them on geriatric care, so geriatric pet care. And I've gone to some really cool places as a speaker, but this will be the most unique. And I thought, you know what? I myself just got over the hill recently. I'm now 51. And I'm like, if there's a time to do it, it's now, Steve, because I don't know if I'll be able to do it in a few more years.
I can hear exactly what those lectures are going to be like, something like this. This is a pre-recorded version of what you'll be saying. Something like that?
So out of breath. I was recently in Machu Picchu, which is about 10,000 feet, and this is almost double that, and I could barely breathe there.
I understand. I guess altitude pills will be part of this, but you're
100%. I am ready.
Yes, but you're really doing this to focus on older pets.
Yes.
By the way, how does one train to climb Mountain Kilimanjaro?
So I've been trying to train for the past 4 months. And so we're 2 months away now. And a lot has just been on my treadmill on an incline, at like a 12% incline, just doing 45 minutes a day. But you still should be doing some weights so that way your core. We're going to be carrying packs, about 20 pounds in packs. There will be Sherpas to carry the bigger things. But Natalie and I have to carry a day pack. And it is 7 days of climbing up. So it's about 5 to 9 hours a day. Different days are different hours because of the incline.
Yeah.
And so it's a lot of cardio, which I'm not great at. I'm quite the couch potato. But what I've also started to do the last 2 weeks is do a lot of stairs. And so I don't do a Stairmaster, but I'm doing stadiums. So I'm doing about 50 flights of stairs a day. And I calculated that Kili is about 780 flights high. So that will be about, 100 flights a day. And I don't know if I'm there yet, but I got 2 more months.
Well, I know someone who's done this, actually. So the good news is it's not a so-called technical climb. And he trained essentially the way it sounds like you're training. He just went he lives in a high-rise, and he just went up and down the stairs every day and more stairs every day. You said stadium. Are you going to, like, where you're in Florida? Are you going to where the Dolphins play football and running up and down those stairs?
I love it. No, there's like a high school near me with a smaller thing. You just go up and down them. But although the Miami Dolphins would be great. I remember when I was at University of Florida, I did stadiums in our, stadium there, go Gators. But no, this is a smaller one, so I go up and down, up and down. And there's also an apartment complex right near me as well that's 4 stories, which isn't a lot, but... My problem, Steve, though, is I've had knee surgery. So I've back when I was 18, and so going downstairs is actually a harder thing for me. So that, is I'm kind of working my way into that training as well, because going down the mountain is dangerous because there's shale and stuff like that. So it's more dangerous, but less strenuous, if you will, because worst case scenario, I'm just rolling down.
Couldn't you guys just like halfway up call an Uber? Is that not allowed?
I know. No. And we will do this. And I love doing this with Dr. Marks because it gives me accountability, and in the tent, we'll giggle and we'll think how crazy we are. And I really do hope that we raise the $10,000 that we're after, because it will just help motivate me when I'm at the top, think about all the pets that we can help, and it will make it all worth it.
Indeed. And people can help. And that website to do that is what?
It is pledgeit.org/2vets, T-W-O vets.
All right. I'm going to say it again. Pledge it. pledgeit.org/TWO vets. And you can help Dr. Marks and Dr. Gardner to raise money for the Gray Muzzle Organization, which is all about what you have been about since I've known you anyway. And that is educating veterinary professionals, but also the general public, about helping, supporting in any way these older animals. So we have less than 2 minutes here. Do you think these older dogs, when they've been rescued or adopted, know that their life has been saved?
I've seen probably like literal smiles on their faces, because oftentimes they have been in that shelter for months. So getting back in a car, getting a new leash, going for a walk, which, by the way, they're all used to doing that, right? You get a puppy, you got to train them. You get an older dog and they're all ready to go. So I think they are so appreciative of that love. And I know it is a little anthropomorphizing, but I there's nothing better than seeing a dog in a new bed in their home. And I think I see the smiles on their faces. So I'm voting yes, they do know.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure that it is anthropomorphizing, actually, because we know that dogs have emotions and feelings just as we do. And one of those 100%. Is simply happiness or joy. They may not completely understand that their life would have ended next Tuesday, you know, at some shelters. But they do understand that they now have a connection, and they will soon be able to trust that person. And it's because of people like you advocating for this. So pledgeit.org/TWO vets. Please help out our own Dr. Natalie Marks and Dr. Mary Gardner. Dr. Gardner, when you return, we'll be talking to you, and we'll learn how well you did.
Awesome.
All right.
I can't wait.
Thank you. Steve. It's called the baby blues. Right. You bring home a newborn, and you're all excited. Of course, you're all excited. But then reality hits in, and your life is turned upside down. You're sleep deprived and all that. Well, the same thing, according to a study from Science Daily, researchers found when people bring home puppies, that their lives are turned upside down, and they suffer anxiety as a result. They get frustrated. House training that dog is supposed to be easy, but it's really not so easy. They get exhausted. I mean, literally, it can be exhausting if the puppy is crying all night. Well, if the puppy isn't sleeping, you're probably not sleeping either. You need to take the dog out every couple of hours if it's a young puppy, and your life is now completely changed. It is now called the puppy blues. Having said that, people feel that way, and then 2 years later, oh, it was great. They seem to forget about it. We'll talk to you next week, bright and early, on WGN.